I'm going to begin reconstructions of Mars. This would be the new evidences that suggest a great abundance of water on the Martian surface billions of years ago. We see the majestic nature of Mars. In the 1976 Viking studies were fairly conclusive. There were no micro-Martians. However, there are several pieces of evidence that suggest that Mars may have had a warmer and wetter climate during its early history. This evidence includes the occurrence of dendritic gullies in the heavily cratered uplands of the southern hemisphere and the morphological characteristics of impact basins. Large amounts of carbon dioxide in the early Martian atmosphere represent, to some scientists, the most likely way of achieving the necessary greenhouse warming to raise the surface temperature of early Mars above the freezing point of water. Surface pressures on the order of 1 bar are required in this case, that is, a 2/3 of magnitude increase in the amount of hemispheric carbon dioxide over the current content. A bar CO2 atmosphere is not inconsistent with estimates of Mars' volatile inventory. However, the occurrence of liquid water on the surface of early Mars would promote the formation of carbonate rocks at the expense of atmospheric CO2. Scientists have suggested that calculations suggest that 1 bar atmosphere on early Mars would be eliminated in about 10 to the 7th to 10 to the 8th years by carbonate rock formation. And in the absence of recycling rocks back to CO2, it is possible in the recycling carbonate phenomena that there was the loss of the atmosphere. At the same time, global scale volcanism could be an attractive way to accomplish this. In October of 1985, Jim Polak and Michael H. Carr came forth suggesting that on the basis of their studies of volcanism and the recycling process, Mars may have had a copious amount of water, perhaps as deep as 100 meters in some places. The burning question became whether the Viking geochemical results preclude the possibility of a past Martian biosphere similar to that of Earth. The answer seems to be no. Instead, the presence of many river-like channels on the Martian surface strongly suggests that Mars had Earth-like temperatures and atmospheric pressures at one time. Note, this was made in 1982, prior to the evidences released by NASA Ames in 1985 that we're about to see. Further, the evidence of isotropic ratios for nitrogen and oxygen suggests that Mars once had a much larger amount of nitrogen and that a vast amount of water, enough to cover the planet's surface to a depth of 10 to 100 meters, may have been present at one time. Interestingly enough, the higher estimates of water amounts would have filled the northern plains and formed a polar ocean with sea levels at approximately 0 kilometers. The Viking landers both landed on the plains below 0 kilometers and found material which matches best with the terrestrial ocean bottom clays. One mystery that we have noted was that the Viking landers found no nitrates in the soil. Although the models for atmospheric photolytic reactions predicted that they should be present in significant quantities, this curiously is related perhaps to the question of a past biosphere. Finally, the Viking landers verified something which has long been suspected, that Mars is red because it is covered with red ferric iron. Since ferric oxide exists on Earth only in the red beds of the Precambrian and the Postcambrian layers, it is believed to mark the rise of free oxygen in the atmosphere produced by photosynthesis. Although the oxygen could have been formed by water rather than photosynthesis, the presence of these red iron oxides taken with other evidence, suggests that a past Earth-like biosphere on Mars cannot be reasonably precluded. Mindful of the new Viking materials, what I am saying, if I may capsulize, is that we must look very carefully at Mars, not so much regarding the possibility of life on Mars. For the record, I will simply say that the majority of the scientists involved in the teleconference were convinced that we should go back. However, to argue from that point that there was life on Mars would be absurd without bringing into our discussion the rest of the story. So with your permission, I would like to look at the next two exhibits. I would like to suggest that there are, obviously are critics that would suggest that what we're about to see is a trick of lighting or an artifact in the film or a misreading of the information. Systems that will be able to penetrate the subsurface of Mars by several meters. We know the permafrost extends down some 3 to 6 kilometers near the polar areas. We also have found some very interesting details at the South Pole. Dr. Mike Malin, graduate of Caltech, who's now at UC Arizona, has staked his reputation on the possibility that some of the meteorite material in Antarctica may come from Mars. The Americans, Brazilians, and South Africans have also found beneath the area of the South Pole evidence of a previous geological period, fossilized evidence of jungle vegetation has been found. And Dr. Stevenson at IMPE in Brazil has gone on record and he has suggested that possibly we will find a clue to the greenhouse effect and even terraforming on Mars from further work at the base of activity in Antarctica.